Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let me start this conversation about this. I know there are the traditional four or five of you, because I recognize the numbers, that are going to besiege me with text about Trump and how good he is and everything else. And that's fine. This is America. I'm all for that. But this is a president we've not seen, and I don't know if ever, and we'll talk about that in a second, but to make a football analogy to me, this is like the offense came out with the center and then lined everybody up in a V formation like ducks fly, and the defense did the same. And some people look at this and say, forget the defense, let's talk about the offense. And some people will look at this and say, well, it's against the rules, you can't do that. Other people will say, no, actually you can. Some people will look at this and say, this is awful, this is horrible. Other people will say it's brilliant and creative. My own personal theory is President Trump is either crazy like a fox or he's just plain crazy. Those are my thoughts. That's just my opinion. But let's get a more professional opinion on that from Jamie Rowan, Associate Professor of Legal Studies at UMass Amherst and Director of the Center for Justice, Law, and Societies. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about this president, because some people love him, some people hate him, some people have a wait-and-see attitude, some people are terrified. Just in terms of the context of the presidency, we have not seen a president like this in a long time, or if ever. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that President Trump is invoking powers that no presidents have ever invoked before, and he's trying to regulate industries in ways that no president has ever regulated before. And he's doing those regulations in ways that directly contradict the Constitution and are absolutely not going to pass judicial scrutiny. But the act of doing that is causing a lot of damage for people.
Can all of this be kind of discussed in microcosm with what's going on with the guy that they wrongly, I put that in quotation marks because it depends, I guess, on who you ask, to El Salvador and what's going on with the Supreme Court? And if you can, Jamie, give us some context on that so we understand, A, what's going on, and B, the constitutional part of it.
Sure. So there was a man named Abrego Garcia who came to the United States as an undocumented immigrant. And when he was challenged in court about his ability to stay, the court said that the United States is not legally allowed to remove him because removing him specifically to El Salvador could result in torture. Mm-hmm. So undocumented immigrants that come here, claim asylum, and might be tortured if they're forced to return to their countries of origin do not have to go home to their countries of origin. There's legal precedent for that. That's the way it works. So this particular immigrant was here legally, and the United States wasn't allowed to remove him. So the ICE and Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested him, claimed that he was part of a gang without any evidence, and sent him along with 200 other migrants to a prison in El Salvador. Now, because he was the one person who, there's a clear record, was legally supposed to not be removed, federal courts have said that the executive authority overstepped its powers by making this man essentially disappear into a prison in a foreign country. It made it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ordered the Trump administration to facilitate his return. It didn't say you have to go get him, because courts can't say that to an executive. That's basically saying go invade a country, for example. Now, what President Trump, in his collaboration with the El Salvadorian government, said is no, we will not be facilitating his return. So we've, again, not really seen a president blatantly say no to the Supreme Court when the Supreme Court is exercising its fundamental right as a, it's a separation of powers issue. The court is able to say that an individual was wrongly detained, or in this case, deported, and the executive is saying no to the court. That is new.
I saw the attorney general parsing words in the Oval Office with facilitate and what facilitate means, and I heard you explain it just now. So I wonder, is this a brilliant move by the Trump administration to circumvent the Supreme Court, or did they just fall into this, or does anybody know?
So the history of the Supreme Court and the executive branch and the legislative branch is actually quite complex, because the Constitution doesn't clarify a lot of the powers that these different branches have. And so in its origins, the judicial branch actually has claimed we don't have jurisdiction sometimes in order to assert authority. And in this case, they said we do have authority over the executive to say that the executive has to do something. The word facilitate is the ambiguous piece. I question whether the Supreme Court could really say anything more than that. But it doesn't really matter what word it used. What matters is that the executive branch isn't facilitating. It's not making an attempt, and it's blatantly saying to the court and to the American public, we don't have to. And I want the listeners to appreciate this from a due process perspective. The Fifth and Sixth Amendments of the Constitution protect all of us, citizens and non-citizens, from the federal government unjustly detaining us without due process. And this federal government is saying, I don't have to follow that.
Let's talk about the gang membership aspect of this. M13, I don't know if he's a member, if he's not. Does anybody know?
No, there's no evidence, none, that he is a member of this gang. In fact, his family, he's a father of three.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And there's no connection between him and this gang.
Somebody texted and said the judges said he was part of that. But did any judge say that?
No.
Okay. All right, just
make
sure.
But it doesn't matter. First of all, no. And he's legally not supposed to be removed from the United States. And so, again, the judicial branch said it was supposed to do. As well as, yeah.
You broke up for a little bit. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I also want to talk about the president saying he wants to imprison U.S. citizens in El Salvador. And if, I don't know anything about Abrego Garcia at all, but if he did apply for asylum and then you returned him to El Salvador, in essence, you put him in the hands of the people that I guess he was applying for asylum from, and now they're saying they're not going to send him back. So we'll pick it up. We come back talking to Jamie Rowan, Associate Professor of Legal Studies at UMass Amherst, Director of the Center for Justice, Law, and Societies. And I would ask that you not look at it as a zero-sum game, that you look at it as, okay, wait a minute, let's make sure that somehow I don't get caught up in this spotlight, and then all of a sudden I'm involved in this. 623 traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 627. Quickly back to Jamie Rowan, Associate Professor of Legal Studies at UMass Amherst, Director of the Center for Justice, Law, and Societies. We're talking about, I don't know if it's a constitutional crisis or not with the Supreme Court and Abrego Garcia. What happens now, Jamie?
Sure, what's going to happen now? I think there's going to have to be sustained pressure on President Trump and for people who care about these issues of due process. Remember, the Supreme Court found that Abrego Garcia was unlawfully arrested, that the government put forward no evidence that he was a member of a gang, that they just alleged that he was a member of a gang. So I think that with enough pressure that continues, there might be some effort to release him, just him, even though there's 199 individuals that were sent to that prison, and El Salvador and the president have agreed that more people will be sent to this prison, a third country prison that is very, very, very dangerous for individuals.
All right, now, the president also said yesterday that he'd like to send U.S. citizens who commit violent crimes to prison in El Salvador, telling the president of El Salvador they'd have to build five more places to hold the potential new arrivals. Talk about the constitutionality of that, if you will, please.
Right. So I don't think this is constitutional, and I don't think Donald Trump says things off the top of his head that are constitutional. These are just ideas.
Okay.
He suggests different ideas at various times. There was a report yesterday that he just said on April 1st, maybe we should just take away $9 billion from Harvard, right, to make Harvard change its policies and become more conservative. So I don't think that there's a question at this moment of that happening. It would take a long a slide of our due process rights, and I think most judges would prevent that from happening. I do think that people who are not citizens of the United States, though, are facing increased risk of all sorts of things. There was a man yesterday who went to get his citizenship papers in Vermont, and he was there arrested for his involvement in campus activism. And regardless of what you think of the speech, one of the biggest concerns in U.S. history has always been the federal government restricting speech. That doesn't incite violence, right? And there's again, specific things you should not do. But otherwise, stating a political belief is core to our Constitution. And people who are not citizens are now facing terrible, terrible consequences for political speech the president doesn't like.
Are we bordering on extraordinary rendition? Is that what they called it during 9/11?
They did, and I think of it like that, actually. The only way that you can think it's different is that many of the people who the United States government captured in the 2001 period were outside the country and then sent to third countries.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate your time. Insight, as always, Jamie Rauman, Associate Professor of Legal Studies at UMass Amherst, Director of the Center for Justice, Law, and Societies. I'm looking at the text line from a few people, and look, I understand what you're saying. My only concern is that it's kind of like the popular table in the cafeteria in high school, right, with the cool kids. It's all good if you're sitting at the table with the cool kids, but then all of a sudden when you find yourself, the cool kids decide you're not cool anymore and you're not welcome at that table, and then you become the target, then all of a sudden you're thinking, this sucks. We'll take a break, come back. Speaking of sucking, talk about the procession underway and what can be done with the insurance crisis and more right now. Time for WWL First News.